Maybe we should just record a segment after this that says, when you listen to this podcast, please go to and take this. But either way, you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's been fun,
you can
Justin.
Just say that right now.
When I just said it, but podcast. Who listens to a podcast from the back?
Oh, you mean stick it at the front?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not saying we have to, but
all right,
it was just
right now, and I'll put it at the front.
Podcast listeners, please take a moment to go to the
Mike Foster's seven
primal questions assessment, and then listen to the rest of the podcast.
You'll thank us if you do that in that order. You can go to primalquestion.com. Yeah, that's probably the best place to go.
Yeah.
Nice job. I'm going to put that at the front, and I'm also going to leave it at the end. So everyone can
that's
see.
Right. That's fair enough. They'll know I wasn't very forethinking on that part.
That's right. But at the beginning, they'll be like, wow, they were very forward thinking.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Boop. Live.
Red lights on.
Red lights on.
Yep.
Segways to come. Although I'm a little reluctant on segways. I bombed last one, but like
that's a good segue into segways though.
There you go. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good morning, that's Justin. Right.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am very well.
It's very cold this morning.
It is cool this morning.
Yeah. Did your truck start okay?
Oh yeah. Started up just fine.
Old Faithful,
just.
Did you get the frost out the window?
It really wasn't frosty.
Yeah.
I was surprised. It was just weird. So clear, I think. You know, it just got cold and clear. And
that
it wasn't
might bode well for the old plants. In the sense that frost is the killer, right?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the cold. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
I suppose at some point.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, like you say, that frost expands the cells in the leaves. So I imagine there's a point where cold just does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Without the frost, but either way, yeah, when it's cold, it's cold.
Yes, and it's cold. So we're going to talk about some questions.
There's my segue. I was thinking about that in the process, because we were talking a little bit about, you know, things that kind of you know, push you the wrong way.
Make you scramble.
Yeah, you're not exactly sure, but all of a sudden it's like, you know, like for some people it might be negotiating or haggling over a car or, you know, over a number. For other people it would be a look that they might receive from someone, you know, and
or the idea someone's coming to your house.
Sure.
Or
The aspect of, is what I do matter? You know, do people, you know, so
or uncertainty at work, you know, like so, that can cause people to scramble when they're not quite sure what the future holds or.
Sure.
Yeah. There's all kinds of scramblers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. There's all kinds of scramblers. And the reality of it is there's nothing new under the sun.
That's true.
You know, so today, as part of our podcast this morning, we have
we have a guest on.
Yeah, well, indirectly.
Mike Foster.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't know he's on.
Exactly. He's been on Fox News. He's been on Good Morning America. He won't be concerned
about how I see it.
Exactly.
It's going to go right on the homepage logos. You know, they got all featured on
LinkedIn.
How I See It.
But Mike Foster came up with seven primal questions, and this is an assessment that, you know, we can put in our podcast, and we'll have a link at the end. And it was just an interesting discussion. It was actually information that Lizzie shared with us over the weekend while she was home. So I just thought it was kind of a neat little opportunity, because I think, you know, so often in this process, and like I say, we've shared, you know, love styles and those kind of things.
Yep.
But I think, you know, through this process of development, you know, we have, and I see it so much with, it was reminding me, I was working with a couple last night even, and, you know, and the wife basically said to me, she said, he grew up exactly the same way I did. You know, his parents were separated, you know, he lived, you know, alone. And it's like, in my own mind, I could hear what she was saying and understood where she was coming from on a, you know, a bigger, a macro level, but yet that has a completely different effect on us as individuals. You know, she's female, he's male, you know, her mom was different than his mom, you know, to where they're just completely different people who grew up in a similar circumstance.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like I've learned that so significantly at CR, at going through step study groups with multiple times over the years, and even open chair groups is an opportunity to hear other people talk about their struggles.
Sure.
And as a result of talking about their struggles, there's also a lot of talking about contextual things like, well, I grew up this way. And so sometimes I really have a hard time with X, right?
Yep.
And a lot of times it's like, there's so many times I've heard that kind of thing where like, wait, they had what I had, and but they struggle with that and I don't. That's weird.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. They had everything I wanted and everything I feel like that holds me back. And I didn't have that. I didn't have, they kind of described this ideal scenario where they had that and then they ended up having these problems. So I've had a lot of kind of eye opening opportunities to, so it's like you said, the macro vision, you might look similar, but we're all so distinct.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Butterfly effect really has an impact when
it comes
to every individual, if you know what I mean by that butterfly effect.
Sure.
Yeah.
One significant, I mean,
or one small change between your life and mine and everything else being equal, we could be completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
Right?
Like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting as you know, we were going through this and I was able to take this assessment. Now, of course, will be in the link, but I was just thinking about it as far as, you know, how we develop and what these things mean to us. Because for me, kind of that underlying part, you know, is, okay, what do we do? You know, when you used the word scramble.
Yeah.
You know,
I stole his word. That's Mike's word.
Yeah. That's Mike's
Thanks,
word.
Thanks, Mike.
But in that process, it's the things that, you know, I tend to feel tend to make me scramble.
Yeah.
Those times when something doesn't seem sufficient, something isn't right. And then I find myself, from my perspective, reacting in some ways versus responding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, little things like this, you know, little assessments that, you know, just kind of help us create a little more self-awareness, you know, and also the aspect, because I think as we become more self-aware, we also gain others' awareness. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, your style, your language, you are different than I am.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's not about me knowing what you're doing. I actually have to ask the questions.
Yeah.
What is it about that? What happened then? How did you feel?
Yeah.
You know, because I guarantee I can see the gears turning there.
Well, okay. So you just made me think about the fact that so many of these quiz makers and assessment makers.
Sure.
My mind was like, wait a second. I just thought of something. They see the value of the whole system. They created it, right? So there is so much value in what you just said. Not only do I know what I am, I also understand so his is seven questions, right? So I understand my primal question, but I also understand the other six. So I can look across the table and think, oh, question five, question two.
Yep.
And it gives me that empathy and the ability to go, yes, different than me. And
grew
up in the same situation, but somehow there are two and I'm still a seven or whatever. And that's an incredible thing.
Sure.
I just realized like a lot of these things, they don't give you that out of the box. They give you you.
Sure.
Right?
That's like, what sells.
That, yes, exactly.
Yes.
No, I'm not criticizing. And the reason why that's so eureka for me is because at our work, we do the Enneagram.
Sure.
Basically, everyone who comes on does the Enneagram. It kind of helps with management, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But when we first decided to do this, we brought in this Enneagram like coach.
Guru.
Yes, exactly. And joke about it all you want, but it was amazing to hear her talk about every type and kind of sure. how people can interact and all that. And it gave me a tool set that I wouldn't have had otherwise, just to know, sure. well, I'm this. Yep. I don't know what your problem is. Well, you're other. You're that number, and I'm this number, so you're an other. So clearly you're not quite right, but that's okay. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I am the optimal number.
exactly. That's what I heard when I heard my assessment. No, I think that's a good point, though, that coming from a therapeutic perspective, which you do and are, you look at this and you go, wow, this is a good thing to help others understand others and themselves.
Yep.
I just don't know how often that's happening. When the whole system is bent towards learn more about you.
No, I hear you.
Just, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's what under, from my perspective, that's what's underlying, and that's a big part of how we love, you know, that aspect of self and others awareness. That's just like a second stage of three stages.
Okay,
cool. And then of course, the third stage is rupture and repair. Because in reality, we all enter into conflict. Mm-hmm. Your number isn't the same as my number.
Right.
So I'm going to look at something, I'm going to experience something, and I'm going to have a completely different viewpoint, perspective of it.
Yeah.
And so when I do that, I'm going to, my brain is going to kind of click, 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 you know, what do you spreadsheet this thing? Yep. And there's your answer. Spit it out at the end. This is how I need to respond. Yeah. And it's like, no, somebody else's computer went through, brain went through, and their spreadsheet came out. This is the response.
Right.
Well, both responses make perfect sense based on that inputs. Number.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's crazy about that, too, is you can take two people of the same number.
Sure.
And put in the same input and still have different output. And the reason is all the variables that, you know, go into that spreadsheet are different. You have different parents, grew up in a different state. Maybe you're a different level in the
socioeconomics.
Or like you're the youngest child, the oldest child. Like just a bajillion variables that we kind of just don't even consider when we look at each other. You know, so I could be, you know, question seven, you could be question seven, and you can give us the same question and we come up with vastly different answers because there are so many variables we're not even considering, you know.
No doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, because we always talk about, well, they're different there, and that's why. Well.
Oh, sure.
I'm pretty sure if you had married a clone, you'd still fight with them.
Right? Like no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Because the other thing is I'm a variable in your situation. Right. So even if we're clones, what I do causes you to do something different or think differently or be irritated or whatever. Sure. Like, anyway.
And to kind of, you know, further your example, I think, you know, so often in sibling relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, we grew up in the same home.
Yeah.
How can we be so different? It's like, no, you didn't grow up in the same home. You know, you didn't. Yeah. You grew up in the same house.
Right.
But that home dramatically changed when, you know, this 7-pound to 8-ounce child came in. That home, I mean, you know, that home changed. That family system changed when this other individual came along. So it's, you know.
The home I grew up in had you in it.
Exactly. <You know? laughs>
And vice versa. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Based on that birth order type stuff. So it automatically changes. Yep. But so that's where, and then, you know, that third level, rupture and repair, we're going to come into conflict, but that ability to say, okay, how do we resolve this?
Yeah.
You know, how do we, because, and I think so often that's what happens is we don't necessarily get to a point where we can, you know, hear the other person like we'd like to, or we're not heard in such a way that says, okay, I've never experienced the ability to have repair. I've only grown up in this rupture to where once I can understand what a repair looks like, then I'm better able to recognize, okay, this is a cycle and a pattern that happens all the time.
Well, and,
go ahead.
And like you said, once I experience a repair, now I go, oh, this can be repaired.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to kind of relax into, you know, that conflict. And I don't have to necessarily say, oh my goodness, conflict is terrible.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to resolve it.
And don't you, I was going to say, don't you think conflict is so terrible because it's represents something irreparable.
Yes.
Right? Like yes. That's most often the thing that causes the schism. At least I can say from my experience, the way sure. I feel when there's conflict, it's like, well, this is always going to be this way. And, you know,
yeah
that's where, yeah. I'll say recently, I've worked on that. I've had those feelings come in where it's like, this is never going to change or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And said, yeah. And then just like tried to go, just chill out. Don't listen to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that man, it really changed how I dealt with the situation, you know, how nice. I responded. And doesn't mean it's perfect, but it definitely.
That's good self-awareness.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that I don't always have that self-awareness, yeah. but it was really refreshing to be able to see those thoughts coming in and go, nope, you stay over there.
Sure.
You know, because that's, I'll say, like, that's one thing with depression.
Uh-huh. That's exactly where I was thinking.
Yeah, is that. I don't get to choose. I can see them coming and I can't block them. It's like, they like go through my.
I can't block them.
They like go through my hands, it feels like, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I see him coming. It's like, I can't.
But you just demonstrated that you can choose some.
Yes.
Yes.
I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
It's not that you can't block them.
Yes.
But yet you're learning how to focus on certain ones
yeah.
and tending to ignore the other ones.
Yeah.
So therefore you can choose.
We'll see about that, Mark.
You're growing in your ability yeah. to block some of them.
Yeah.
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 And
hopefully.
Hopefully,
a fluke.
Well, no, but that's the reality. You're building some success with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore Which that reinforces. Promotes your desire yeah. to do that again.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it perfectly every time?
Mm-hmm.
Likely not.
But even when I fail to, you still have that success to look back yes. on and say, well, I didn't do it right this time, but I know it works. So I'm
exactly.
going to do, you know, I'm going to try harder next time.
You're a good football fan at that point. There's always next season.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah.
Like the poor Cowboys fans. And, was the team that
Pittsburgh
lost
Steelers.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's what it comes down, because I talked with a, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Yeah. You know,
you're up from that area, so.
He was funny. He's like, well, we did better than I thought we'd do. You know, it's like, that's the other side of the coin, you know.
That's what we do. Well, we didn't suck like we usually do, but
exactly. But yeah, so that being said, if I just kind of wanted to kind of go through that in such a way, and we'll kind of label them out a little bit. Yeah. We invite people to kind of just, if you have a moment, take the assessment. Like I say, there's no, I was able to get mine even without putting in
that's pretty email rare.
Address.
Yeah,
that's pretty,
you could say skip the email. Yeah. That was, well, here's the thing. I was like, I like this enough. I would give you my email, but also had a required field for phone. I'm like, nope,
oh, okay.
I'm out. I'll do the skip. So if you're listening, Mr. Foster, maybe don't make all of it required, because some people might be willing to give their phone, not their email, whatever. That's anyway.
That's how we see it, Mr. Foster.
That is how I see it anyway. Yeah.
So there's no subscription. There's no, and like you say, you're given all the information, and that may change in the next. You know, depending on how many listeners we send,
right,
you know, that might change.
Owe us a check. Yeah. No, I was going to say too, right before we dive into them, this, just like every other assessment, is a distilling, right? Of
sure.
Kind of. So I like what you were saying. You said nothing's new under the sun, right?
Yeah.
So what's cool about that is after eons of us being the same kind of ways as
sure.
humanity, we're able to look at it and review it and go and distill to some key components of what makes us tick. So I really like this, but as with everything, nothing can fully encompass an individual. And I thought it was funny when you sent me this, because I know you've pushed back on personality tests before, because it's like, right, we've discussed that, where you don't like the idea that it could sum you up in one.
I hear you.
I
dislike taking tests like this, but I give him credit because he gave me the little sliding scale. You follow me? Don't like is when somebody asks me the point blank question and it's only yes or no.
Yeah.
It would probably still equated to yes and no, you know, in the
math,
the drop down.
Yeah.
but I was able to just slide it a little bit to, you know, partially agree.
That's a good point. If you're one of those that doesn't like to be pegged, then just so you know, you can slide that slider anywhere between the continuum. It's a continuum.
Exactly.
Answer, right?
So, yeah. And it gave me the, you know, perception that I was able to put myself on that continuum
where
I desire to be.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So anyway, standard disclaimer, it is a distilling. So if you know, maybe not be 1,000% perfect and peg you in every sense, but
and recognizing pulling back, you know, we our acceptance, our identity, our security and all that purpose, which this stuff deals with, ultimately, I believe comes from God, you know, unconditional acceptance, you know, but there again, growing in self-awareness helps me, you know, interact with other people in a way that I believe is helpful. But, you know.
Well, and bringing it back to God, too, like all of these primal questions are all only answered through God.
Sure.
Properly. Right. Sure. So, I mean, you can find answers for all of these in, you know, other places, but ultimately they're all going to end up empty or, you know.
Yep. And I think what happens is, you know, we all grow up with imperfect parents, not blaming anyone, but, you know, some of these questions just don't get answered sufficiently.
Yeah.
You know, in our, you know, childhood background, you know, imperfect people, you know, raising imperfect kids, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. And, you know, so
it creates a hunger or a, a craving.
Yes.
Maybe the better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is that need. And, you know, even as we were talking about it with Lizzie, that, you know, she was describing it far better than I probably will, you know, in this, just this moment. But, you know, it was to the point of, it's like, okay, yeah, we're talking about attachment. We're talking about needs going unmet and how that need translates into this primal question or, you know, so yeah, that's where I'm at. So
cool.
Well, for the sake of the seven questions, I think what we'll do is we'll kind of go through and label out the seven questions, then come back
Sounds good.
Then actually kind of go piece by piece and we'll talk about them accordingly. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right.
So we'll have Mike weigh in a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you weigh in for Mike. But long story short, question one is, am I safe? Question two is, am I secure? Question three, am I loved? Question four, am I wanted? Question five, am I successful? Question six, am I good enough? And question seven, do I have a purpose?
Nice. Now, everyone pause the podcast and guess which one you think Mark and I are.
Oh.
All right, you back? Did you get it right? All right.
I thought this was interesting when we both took the assessment. Yeah. We actually agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the same primal question.
On the same primal question. And it kind of, I think as people listen, you know, you could hear some of that in our discussions, you know, especially when we think about, you know, goals and, you know, legacy, those kind of things, you know, as we talk about that, we were both question seven.
Yeah.
Do I have purpose?
Yeah.
And so, like you say, it was just kind of interesting. And so I wasn't surprised by that. And and even as, you know, Lizzie was, you know, discussing the questions, it's like, it was because question seven, of course, is the last one. So in that process, it's like, this isn't much.
This is all stupid. This guy's totally missing it. Last question.
Exactly. I'm glad you like this, Lizzie, but you know, this means nothing to me until it's like she started, you know, going to the purpose. It's like, oh, wait, hold on. This is making, this is a lot more important than I thought it was.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so that was just the timing of it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, and we've talked about Enneagrams before. I know we've talked about it. We didn't do it. Did we do an actual podcast?
No.
Okay.
Might not be a bad idea.
Well, either way, those people, you know, people who are aware, people who listen, who know their Enneagram, this is going to seem kind of, it's going to have that nothing new under the sun.
Yes.
Type feel to it. You're going to be able to pull some of that in. And even the question one, you know, where Enneagram one is perfection.
Yeah.
Perfectionists, I think, you know, it's like, am I safe? Question ones are the world's guardians. They help people feel safe and protected and are naturally able to analyze and predict and tend to be emotionally connected and sensitive. At their core, they have a physical and emotional safety, and negative surprises are a no thanks. Question ones are at their best when they're relaxed, at peace, and can heal and protect those around them. However, when they're in the scramble, there you go, there's the scramble, they mm-hmm. tend to try and control the future, live on high alert, and exist in a lot of stress and anxiety.
Yeah. It's interesting because you translate that as a one, kind of Enneagram one, or you see the connection, right? I see some of the Enneagram one stuff in question five, but also that also is question three.
Sure.
Enneagram three. So okay. Enneagram one is kind of this perfectionist idea,
yep.
right?
And, yep.
What else is it about the Enneagram one? Do you remember?
Perfection. Chris is an Enneagram one.
Yeah.
So like
very precise.
Yep.
You know,
details matter.
Yep, yeah. And kind of expects others to hold to that standard as well.
Sure.
Right. That's yep. kind of, I yep. think, Enneagram one.
And that's what reminded me, you know, it's like they are kind of those guardians. It's like if I'm bringing something to your attention that, you know, isn't necessarily right, that's to protect you. It's not that I'm wanting to, you know, let you know that I noticed your mistake. It's to protect you from that failure that you might, and it may not matter to the other person,
right?
You know, or so it's just, and then, you know, being able to, I think it's, you know, we can definitely see where at times that ability to, if everything is good, relaxed and nurturing and all that, but when it's on high alert, it is a desire to protect and provide safety for other people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part, you know, that kind of connected with me and the Enneagram one.
That's totally fair. And I'll just say that's how you see it, Mark. No, as I'm reading these, I can see one in a lot of these, and then vice versa, like some of the other ones, which makes me think like we're looking at a different angle at the same thing.
Oh, sure.
How I see it is basically like, again, the Enneagram is not a fully encompassing view of a person, and neither is any other, you know, the how we love quiz or whatever. They're all, like you said, facets or directions at looking at the same person. And so I feel like you can still fit one of these really tightly and still be this other Enneagram thing and still see some of the Enneagram stuff in the other. It's like,
no doubt.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what makes it. Once you get all these personality tests, then you can really see even more who you are and how it's nuanced.
Oh, sure.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt there's nuances. And I think it's interesting as we would read through these, likely, you know, you might lock on one person.
Right.
That tends to remind you of this question says, that other's awareness is kicking in at that point. Because, and here again, this isn't a judgmental statement, but having that awareness that says, that might be why, you know,
what makes someone tick.
Which
can give you the tools for relating, you know, relational tools to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To empathy. Understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm in agreement with you. You know, it's like when we think of, you know, perfection, it might come back to even for, you know, and I think it's going to be nuanced between male and female, even to a certain degree, you know, perfection for a male, perfection for a female. Yeah. Is it perfection for a male might be driven by success,
right? Yes. And being at the top, or a woman might be about is am I serving?
Right. Or for a female, it might, you know, I'm thinking about honor and respect for guys as far as successful, you know, but security is going to be bigger or, you know, safety, you know, possibly for that female design, you know, that kind of thing.
Also, we know that's not the same for every, like, not all women need security.
Exactly.
Not all men need success, but
But being able to, you know, make it fit to a greater degree. Everybody's going to be different, but there are going to be some likenesses in that male side of things, Would you like to read the second one?
Yeah, let me add it. Question number two, am I secure? So you talked about, am I safe? So there, mm-hmm. it'd be interesting to talk about the distinctions between these two.
Sure.
Your thoughts. But this one is the Q2s, question two people. Q2s are great providers and partners, and they build stable environments, prioritize their relationships and finances, and tend to be trustworthy, grounded, and methodical. At their core, they crave security, and not having the right amount of money or relational resources to protect themselves is a big fear. When Q2s are at their best, they're generous, connected, and secure. However, when they're in their scramble, they tend to fret over money, resources, and relational capital. Which, that's an interesting phrase, mm-hmm. relational capital.
Yeah. And when you read that, you know, I think that's it does delineate the difference well between safe, question one, which is safe, question two, which is secure.
Because why? Tease it out.
Exactly. Well, I think so much of, you know, question one, it is about the emotional connection and that the feeling, if you will, of am I safe? I think the secure is looking at this, and this. So that number in the bank account, you know. Yeah. These factors, I guess I saw it as a little bit more defined.
Hmm.
You know, I look at that, I look at that, and I look at that, and it's like, nope, I'm not secure.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, my bank account needs to go up $5,000 mm-hmm. more dollars, mm-hmm. and then we'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think the safe seems a little more emotional.
Hmm.
You know, I was thinking of what's the ENF?
Yeah, that's another personality.
Yeah, there was
ENTF and INFJ.
Yes.
Exactly.
One is sensing you understand where
intuitive,
I'm coming.
Yes. Sensing. Yeah.
That's kind of that difference to me.
Yeah.
You know, that safe felt a little more intuitive, like it's a nebulous thing that I just have to feel it.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. It's just a feeling that I have.
Yeah.
But the secure, you know, it's trustworthy, grounded. It's kind of almost like looking at the things I do. Disciplines matter.
Yeah.
What comes to mind for
me. I can produce security by having X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Where safe is more about, a feeling. And I can see what you're saying. How does a question one, am I safe, go about achieving safety? I guess that's the scramble. They try to control future, live on high alert, mm-hmm. exist in a lot of stress and anxiety, but that's not, I can see what you're saying as far as, it almost feels like there's a less ability to address the problem.
Yes.
Safety person.
That's my take on it well, a little bit. It's a little more nebulous. I can't necessarily put my finger on just one thing.
Yeah.
It's this combination.
I just know I need this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is a great awareness.
Yeah.
If I know what I need and I'm able to communicate that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because then other, so because one may come down to as simple as I need a hug.
Yeah.
You follow me at this moment. Whereas two, it's like, well, we're spending a little too much from my perspective, you know, and we need to be saving a little more, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways it was funny as I read too, it's like there was a part of me that could identify with the first part, but it's like the second part of not having the right amount of money, you know, right amount of money or relational, that part didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't have a specific.